Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rittman.
Welcome and thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it very much. It's a great Saturday. And today we're going to talk about purchasing in this market. We talked quite a bit last week about the market, what's going on. I want to talk a little bit more about the market. It seems to be a huge issue for a lot of people, and it's different than anything we've ever seen. I've talked to many real estate agents, and they say the same thing. They've never seen a market like this. Now, I have seen a market like this, but it was years and years ago, and obviously no market's exactly the same, but I remember back when we were dating and timing our offers. So it had a date and time stamp on it. This is many years ago, so that they knew which offer came in first. I think it's actually being handled much better today, the way that most people are handling it. Let's talk about how it goes right now for a lot of people with purchasing. Once you actually find a house and you're ready to make an offer, first thing is you have to find a house, obviously, and that is not always the easiest thing to do. It really does help to have a real estate agent, a solid agent who knows what's going on. They know what's happening. They may even know of houses coming on the market that haven't shown up yet. Because what's going to happen when you go to look at a house, you're going to find that you are not the only person looking at that house today. Yeah, you're not even one of one or two. You're one of maybe 25, 30, 40 people. It just depends. And when people list their home, they list it. I had an agent tell me, we tell them, listen, we're going to actually get it onto the market. We list it, we get it ready, but we aren't going to actually put it out there until Thursday. And we're going to tell everybody you can set appointments to see the house. And we have appointments at certain times on Friday and Saturday, maybe even Sunday, but many times not. And then we're not showing the house after a certain time, and all offers have to be in at this time. And then we look at those offers and we take the best offer that we receive, the one that we want to take. That's how it is. It's not like it was. The starting price of a home is the list price, and it goes up from there, where it used to be the list price was the highest price you'd pay, and it goes down from there. Not today. So just be prepared for that. I've had people who've taken... They've offered 12, I think the most I've had is they offered on 12 different properties before they finally got an offer accepted. So you have to come in strong, and you have to be able to, be prepared for that. It's one of the reasons the pre-approval is so important, and how the pre-approval is written is important, and what we do to make sure that we get rid of every contingency possible so that you can buy that house. One of the things a seller wants to know is if you bid, many a times it's over list price, but if you bid and the appraisal comes in lower than your bid, are you able to buy the house? Because if you're not, the next person will. And I've seen it written into purchase agreements that people will pay, they'll make up the difference, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 of a short appraisal. The reason that's being done is because they're trying to take that worry away from the seller. Pick me for your buyer, because I have the money. If this house appraises lower than what you sell it to me for, I'm not going to come back and ask you to lower your price. I'm upfront will agree to pay an X amount of dollars. Now, sometimes I've had them even go over that. The appraisal will be even lower than that, and they have had to negotiate a little bit, but there's not a lot. It is very much a seller's market. Another thing that is being done today is, not too long ago, when you made an offer on a house in Indiana, we pay property taxes in arrears. When you pay taxes in arrears, that means that if you close in July, the taxes that are due would be, while the seller lived there, would be a year's worth or so of taxes that are due, that are the seller's taxes, really, because they've lived there. But a lot of people, because it keeps us from having as much a problem with an appraisal, a lot of people are saying, well, we won't prorate taxes, we'll just pay them. But we're not going to give you as much money for the house, but we aren't going to prorate the taxes. So it's a wash for the seller, but it doesn't affect the purchase price, which makes it a little easier possibly to get the appraisal, because that's not something that the appraisers that I have seen are looking at. That may be an adjustment an appraiser will make as they see that more and more, but that is one of the things that people are doing. But everything you're doing when you're making these offers is you have to make sure that you make your offer look the best. As a lender, I have to make sure your pre-approval looks as the best I can possibly make it look, and put that seller and that seller's real estate agent at ease that you are a solid borrower, and if they accept your offer, you will close on the house. There's very little chance that you won't. You also need a top-notch real estate agent to help you through this process, I'm telling you. And, you know, I would think that you would not need that in this market because it's such a strong market. But what I found is you actually need it more than you ever have. So I highly recommend you find a very strong agent. If you don't have one and you want to talk about it, go online at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Let me know. Contact me from there. You can also call me direct at 317-215-7600. We can talk about it and we can get you with an agent. We want to pick somebody. We want to get you with somebody or a couple people that are in your area, that are experts in your area and can help you both. If you're selling a home, sell the home. And if you're buying a home, buying and selling, do both. If you're just buying a house, they can help you do that. We just want to make sure we get you with the right person so that it works as smoothly as possible for you and that you're given the correct advice. The advice matters. The expertise of the real estate agent matters, just like it matters of the mortgage person. So we want to make sure that we guide you down that correct path. We've talked about the pre-approval. The very first step, in my opinion, and with many of the agents I talk to, is a pre-approval, especially in this market, but it really is always this way. You want to make sure, and everybody wants to make sure, what you can be qualified for. Many people, they qualify for much more than they want to spend, but at least you know. But you don't want to go out and look at the wrong houses at the wrong price, make an offer, find out, you know, it's too late. You know, by the time you do that, you spend all this time and then everybody's upset. And quite honestly, in this market, you will not get from what I'm being told, there's very little chance you're going to get an offer accepted if you don't have a very solid pre-approval. So that would be the first step, especially in this market. We want to do that pre-approval. That means we want to get all of the information. It's not, you know, we don't go without all. We want to put on your pre-approval letter that we've done everything that we can do, again, so that when that seller sees it and the seller's agent sees it, they go, this is a good offer. So you're in the offers that we're going to look at. The first thing they do is they, according to the agents I have talked to, the real estate agents I've talked to, one of the first things they do is they go through the offers and they throw out the ones that they aren't going to even look at. One of the ways they remove them is they don't have a pre-approval letter and they aren't paying cash. So if they're paying cash, they don't need a pre-approval letter. But if they're not paying cash and they don't have a pre-approval letter, I'm being told they just push those aside. They don't, you know, they're not even going to be looked at, and they aren't going to, you know, have any, there's just no chance you're going to get that offer. They also are getting rid of contingencies because there's too many solid offers with no contingency. So it's another thing when we do a pre-approval letter, we want to look at that you can qualify without selling your current home, if that's a possibility, just because it's going to make it a lot easier for you to find a house and be able to do, you know, be able to get your offer accepted. So we want to make sure that we do that. The other piece of that is, in order for us to do the very best pre-approval letters, we need documentation on the information so that we can put it on there. So we want to document what your income is. We want to document what your assets are. We need to be able to run credit. I know a lot of people don't like us just running credit. I don't like to just run credit, but in this market, you want to get a solid pre-approval letter, we have to run credit. We want to run that. And I'm not saying when you call a lender and immediately say, yeah, here's my social security number, run my credit. I'm not at all suggesting that. I think you should talk to people. And when you decide, okay, this is who I want to work with on my pre-approval letter and on my mortgage, that's who you should have do that. Have them pull your information so that they can give you a solid pre-approval letter. Hopefully that will be me. And again, you can go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And after the break, we're going to talk about more of how you shop for a home in today's market.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you again for joining me. I appreciate it very much. We're talking about how to shop for a home, but kind of, I think this might be relevant and helpful if we talk. I just want to read this article to you. And actually, it's just a more of a statement from Lawrence Yun. He writes that this is there's a troubling shortage of homes. And this was actually written back in March 16th, 2016. And the reason that they were concerned back then is because over the last, at that point, I think it was 7 years, 8 years, we were underbuilding. We just weren't building enough homes. So here's what Lawrence says. He says, from 2009 to today, this again was in March 2016, new construction of single-family homes, condominiums, and apartment units totaled 5.6 million. Over the same period, approximately 1.7 million housing units were deemed uninhabitable or obsolete and were demolished and removed from the housing stock. These two figures result in a net addition of 3.9 million housing units to the country's stock. Is that adequate in light of 17.3 million additional people living in the country over the same period? Clearly, the answer is no. Given the average household size of 2.5 persons, a total of 6.9 million new housing units would be needed to accommodate the country's rising population. The 3.9 million units that were actually created fall far short of the demand by some 3 million homes. That explains why rental vacancies are falling and housing inventories are shrinking. Of course, local market conditions vary. States with declining populations, including Connecticut, Illinois, West Virginia, may have less pressing needs for additional housing construction, but those places are exceptions. Housing shortages are the rule in most states, and there is no reason to expect anything to change this year. Now, that's back in 2016. He is completely accurate, and it just kept getting worse and worse. He also says there are essentially two major consequences of persistent housing shortage, a continuing steep rise in housing costs and people needing to double or triple up to afford a home. Young adults may have to find multiple roommates or else live with their parents. So it is a very tough, tough time. Now that was in 2016 and that's what they were saying then, and it's just gotten worse. So we do have a significant housing shortage. That shortage has resulted because of the shortage and the increase in the housing stock. They just weren't building houses. And now the builders are having trouble. They can't get material. We've all heard that. Material has gone way up. They can't get material and they can't get labor. And without material and without labor, you really can't build houses, and it is becoming a real problem in the construction. But it's also, you know, obviously we're having the same issue, maybe not caused by the same thing, but we do have the same issue in the resale market, and so it's important that we do understand that. And if you're in the market, you really do need to know how to go about looking at homes, how to make the offer, how to walk through this process. And again, it's really important that you work with a solid real estate agent, a solid mortgage person. If you want to talk about that, you want me to help find you a good solid real estate agent, just go online at hardworkingmortgageguy.com and contact me, or you can call me direct at 317-215-7600. That's 317-215-7600 or hardworkingmortgageguy.com.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
I was talking to Clarence the other day, and Clarence was wanting to know what many, many people ask me, how much home can I afford? And you know, there's a lot of news out there that homes are becoming unaffordable, and it's just flat out not true. And we are in some of the most affordable times ever. Now, through the mid, like 2009 through 2014, we were more affordable because of all the homes that were foreclosed upon. But since that time, we are extremely high, and we're much higher than we were before 2009 in the affordability index. And the reason we are, yes, house prices have gone up, but interest rates are at very low levels. In fact, they've been at record low levels, and that has helped keep this a very, very affordable market. So the market is there. The interest rates are down. Even though prices have gone up, it makes a tremendous amount of sense. As you look at it, you'd be surprised at how much home you can afford because of that low interest rate. Now, to give anybody a specific amount of money or house that they can afford, I can't do that at all on air and not having the information. What we would have to do is talk about it, get your information, get what you know, we get your assets, we get your debt information, we get your income information. It's best if we can run credit, and then we can go through and we can run those numbers, and then we can come up with what you can afford. There's what we could qualify you, not so much what you can afford, but it's what you can qualify for. Many people don't want to spend everything. Some people do, especially with these low rates. They want to be at the top because they know their income is going to go up. Others want to stay at a more, under that. And so you may qualify for more than what you actually want to spend. But you need to do that if you're looking at even thinking about buying a home. That's the very first step. We want to make sure what you can afford. And that is also part of then getting the pre-approval letter. So again, just go online, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. You can contact me from there, hardworkingmortgageguy.com, or direct at 317-215-7600. That's 317-215-7600. So let's go back to how do you shop for a home in this market? You know, it is the same in some ways, and it's different. And why is it different? It's because you don't have any time, I'm going to say, to think about it. For those of us who like to think about it and like to spend an inordinate amount of time making sure everything is exactly as they want it and they need to check everything out, this is a hard, hard market. As an example, I'll give you, I am that way. I would like to say I'm not, but when I start shopping for certain things, like my wife and I decided we were going to get electric bicycles. And so I spent hours online checking out. I knew nothing about an electric bicycle. So I spent hours online figuring out, what the difference is. What's the difference between a rear drive and a mid drive? What's the difference in torque? What does wattage mean? What does that mean to me? How fast can they go? How long can they go? What is it that it does? And then what do I need it to do for me? I'm one of those people who like to do that. You can't do that in today's market. Today's market, you walk into a house, like I said earlier, you may have the appointment on Friday from 2:30 to 3 o'clock, and you walk through that house. You got a half an hour to look at the house. At 3 o'clock, you got to be out because at 3 o'clock, somebody else is coming in to look at that house. And then you have to be able to make your offer by, it may be Friday night at 6 o'clock. They want all offers. And then they'll look at them and they'll decide who's going to get it. So you can't go in there many times. You can't go in there and say, okay, well, let me think about it. Let's go look at some other houses. Let's do this. First, there's very few houses on the market. Secondly, you have to get in line to get in those houses. You have to get your scheduled. And then by the time you get into that house, this other house may have already been sold because they already accepted all the offers they were going to accept and they made their decision. So you do have to be able to make a decision very, very quickly. And that is vitally important that you do that. Now, some of us, like for me, what I would suggest is if I would know my area that I want to buy a house in. If a house comes up outside of my area but acceptable, I'm going to go spend some time in that neighborhood, that area, before I go look at the house, or hopefully after I look at the house, but before I have to make an offer so I can make sure I like the area. It's not just, you're not just buying a home, you're buying the area, you're buying the neighborhood, and that all matters. And so you don't want to, just because it's a hot market, settle for a house that you find out isn't in the right area, isn't in a neighborhood you wanted to live in. It's just, you don't fit in it. It's not what you wanted. So, you still have to have your parameters. What is it that are non-negotiable things that have to happen? And then what are the negotiable things that, okay, I'm okay. For instance, I'm okay living here, but anything within a 20-mile radius or 10-mile radius or 5-mile radius or whatever it happens to be, just make sure you know what it is. Now, the other piece of this, and especially because a lot of people don't get the house that they make the first offer on. So my recommendation, we all have cell phones, take pictures of the home, put the pictures in a file folder with that house and keep those pictures so that when you go back to look at houses, you can remember. I used to be in new home sales. I worked for a major builder here in town. And one of the things we did is we went to the National Home Builders Association meeting, and that was in Dallas, Texas. At the time in Dallas, it was a extremely hot market, probably still is. But we went out and we looked at what the plans they did. What did they do so maybe we could pick up some ideas of what we could do here? And I remember sitting in the van that was driving us around, and we came up to a corner. And I mean, as far as you could see, every single direction was new communities going up, and just you could just see dirt and houses. That's all you could see. And we looked at a tremendous amount of houses, and I learned very quickly after about the third house, they all started running together. Now, I may not be as up on it as you. You may be able to do more than that, but I can tell you after five or six houses, they're all going to run together. You're going to mix them up. You're going to forget what this has and that has. So you want to take pictures. You want to keep them so you remember the homes. That's going to be critical. Because if you have to make an offer, you see this home, you're ready to make an offer, you want to make sure you're making the offer on the right house, the house that you wanted, and that you remember it correctly. That, in my opinion, is very, very important. So keep track of the houses. We talked about this next one, but it's extremely important. It's be prepared to make an offer. When you look at the house, you don't have time to think like I talked before. There just isn't a lot of time to think in this market. If you decide you want to go look and you're looking and you're ready to buy a house, be prepared to make an offer. It's very difficult if you're trying to, hem-haw around. I was watching one of the shows on MGT or HGTV or one of those places, MGTV, HGTV. And it was, they were moving to like Omaha from California, and she was struggling because they were in San Francisco and they liked that style, and that he was ready to move out into the country. And I mean, it was or out into the burgs, and that's what she didn't want it. He did. And, but they were in this market. It was hot. It was hard to, they had to look. They looked at the house. They had to make an offer right away. The agent kept telling them, you have to make an offer. If this is the house you want, you got to make an offer right away. And they ended up finding a house and they did, and they got what they wanted, and they ended up happy, but they had to make a decision. And in the show, she was the one who had the most struggle with making a decision. But with all the help of everybody in that real estate agent, she was able to make a decision. That's the next one. You got to listen to your real estate agent. That means you have to pick a top agent out. You have to pick the right agent, somebody that not only you get along with, they understand you. You've gone through the information. They know what you want. They understand what you want, what you're trying to accomplish, where you want to live. They're showing you the houses. They're connected in the real estate community, because if they're connected, then they know of all the houses coming up. There's houses that come up. They come up so fast and they're sold so fast that if you're in the know, you might be able to get somebody in a house. Not that the other people aren't going to be able to get in, but you might be able to get in sooner, which gives you a little bit more time to make that decision of what you want to do. And so you really do want a top agent. You want a solid agent. You want somebody who knows what they're doing. And I would highly recommend that you go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's my website. So of course I recommend it. It's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. You can contact me from there, and we can talk about all of the things, pre-qual, everything, including, who might be a great agent for you, or, where you live. Let me find an agent that would be perfect for your situation. We want to do that. So again, hardworkingmortgageguy.com, or you can call me direct at 317-215-7600. That's 317-215-7600. So we want, that's all important. Another thing with this purchasing a home, the appreciation in Indiana, this blew me away. The appreciation in Indiana year over year, and this was through April, was 13.1%. So from April 2000 and May 2020 to through April 2021, homes on average, increased, appreciated 13.1%. Now, if they continue at that rate, which it looks like they will for a little bit of time anyway, one of the things about paying a little extra for the house, you're going to hopefully catch it up with appreciation. And I have, you know, something that we can run and show you how that might work based on historic appreciation and show you how long it might take to get back whatever overage you're paying for the house. But it also tells you that, you know, it's one of those things, if they're appreciating at that level, you buy it today, it's, you know, 13%, it goes up 1%. You buy a $400,000 house, by the time you close, it's already worth $4,000 more. So that's pretty good and pretty wise investment. So it is a great thing to do, but it is, like I said, it's extremely competitive. One of the things that people kind of forget, I think, and that you have to consider when you're bidding, what we call bid over the list price. So house is listed at 200 and you bid 210,000 and so you have your, you know, and you get the bid. So you're $10,000 over. You have your appreciation. That's one way that it's going to make up. It'll take a little bit of time, but a $200,000 house at 13%, you know, over $200,000, 13%, it increased by $26,000 over the first 2 years. That's if it stays at 13%. I'm not saying it will. I doubt it will, but let's say it goes down to 8%. It's still 16,000 if you pay 10 over. Within 2 years, you're now starting to earn, you know, get the appreciation. So that can be extremely valuable. So you need to remember that, you know, you have that. That's a good option. And that paying over list in this market, as hard as it could be, like for me, it would be very difficult, but I know how it is, so I would do it. But if you're like me, you'd struggle with that, but it is what it is. I think the other thing you have to remember, though, when you're doing this, there aren't many houses out there, so it is a tough market, but there'll be another house. If you don't get it, you just have to know there will be other houses. You can keep looking. Like I said, I had a customer, they made offers on, I think, 12 houses before they got their offer accepted. And so that's, let me tell you, very, very hard emotionally to go through. They talked to me about it many times, and how disappointed they were, but ultimately they're thrilled with the house that they got. And so it kind of made up for it. But while you're going through it, it can be a struggle. But if you don't want to have to go through that as much, one of the things you want to make sure that you do is really listen to that real estate agent. They know how to do that. They know what to do. Now, what about making an offer? There's a variety of ways to make an offer on a house. And in this market, one of the things that I see, I told you, you know, they're not prorating taxes. They're trying to cut as much as they possibly can. But we're doing escalation clauses. So the escalation, you say, I'll pay $200,000 for this house, and then I'll pay up to 210 at $1,000 increments. So if somebody comes in at 205, you pay 206, you get the house. That's another thing that's going on. And that may be a good option in your situation. But again, you need to talk to your real estate agent about that and see if that makes sense for you and how you're going to work on that. The last thing I want to talk about is what happens if the appraisal comes in low. We did talk about that. But if you offer 210 on a $200,000 house, that $10,000 you have to make up. The appraised value, if it appraised at 2 and you paid 210, the appraised value is the value of the property. If you were putting $20,000 down on a $200,000 house, that would be $40,000. You may still put the $40,000 down, but $10,000 is going to pay the shortage of the appraisal. And so you're only actually, on the appraised value, you're only putting $30,000 down, so you would have mortgage insurance. There's options around that. We would just need to talk about that. There's a lot of ways to work this. We just have to look at it. Key is to help you get into the house that you want at the best price and the best options that we can. And that's what we want to help you with. So please go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com or give me a call, 317-215-7600. Thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it, and have a great weekend.